Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Why? A great question. Human society is engaged in asking questions. Measure. How long is this? How wide is this? How deep is this? How heavy is this? When was the Russian Revolution? It's a historical question. It's a historical question. Then geographical questions. What is the capital of Tatarstan? There's so many questions which reveal facts and figures about the world we live in. And the really important question is why. Now this question why may be asked on a superficial level. The famous incident supposed to have happened that Isaac Newton, the father of classical physics, was sitting under an apple tree when an apple fell down, and he wondered why. And this led to his propounding a theory of gravity. Why does the apple fall from the tree? The answer, gravity. This is considered a great advancement in knowledge. But the question why is only applied at a superficial, has only in this case been applied at a superficial level. What is the ultimate cause? What is the ultimate reason for the apple falling from the tree or for anything happening at all in any place, any time, any circumstance? Now, this ultimate question, why, probably didn't occur in the mind of Sir Isaac, as he came to be known, because he was a theist. And he took for granted the Christian explanation of existence, or the sect of, or the explanation of existence according to the sect of Christianity he belonged to, which has some praiseworthy points and also some very foolish points. So, good point is that they accept that there is God behind everything, and that we should remember and serve and pray to God. We should pray to Him and acknowledge His existence. There are some very foolish things in Christian so-called theology, as I was pointing out the other day. For instance, there was one bishop in Ireland who calculated from his biblical studies that the world had begun, and he gave an exact time, 9:30 a.m. on a certain date. He gave the exact time, 9:30.
It's like that Khrushchev in the United Nations said that the Soviet Union's industrial production has increased 19,449 times since the revolution.
19,449
times since the revolution. Not Russia, Soviet Union.
Yeah.
When we find such precise figures about non-certain or not precisely definable phenomena, then we know there's something wrong. So anyway, getting back to Isaac Newton, his asking the question why and providing the answer gravity did not affect the gravity of his belief in God. Now, gradually in the Western world, science moved away from theism to be practically in all respects diametrically opposed to it. And science went on asking the question, why? What is the cause of this? What is the cause of that?
But with a commitment, with an unspoken commitment to deny any ultimate cause. It is inevitable that the scientists have come to speculate that the whole universe came into being out of nothing, or alternative theories are that it's always existed. So theories such as the universe has come out of nothing simply by chance without any conscious cause is inevitable because they're atheists. Now, in this verse and in the series of verses around here, or preceding this, is the discussion, what is the cause of a living being suffering? And various suggestions have been offered. But dharma, the personality of religion in the form of a bull, is seen that be what is the ultimate cause of all causes. Now, we understand from Vedic literature is the ultimate cause of all causes, Krishna. That the universe is going on by an ordered method, not simply disorder. Ordered chaos. There is God in control. And the modern scientific theory is that it's an ordered chaos, which is an oxymoron. They have laws which they have ascertained, scientific laws. One of them is which is that any system which is not supervised will tend towards chaos. So their theory is that this whole universe is a non-ordered system. Their whole study of science depends upon there being order. They presume there is order. Therefore they study. They discover so many laws that they deny that there can be, that there is any conscious lawmaker. So if we just dig a little bit deep, if we are slightly philosophical, we can understand that there must be God. And actually, so-called scientists, they have no answer to the claim that there is God. And therefore, they simply poo-poo the notion. It means they just dismiss it lightly.
P-O-O-H-P-O-O-H.
They dismiss it lightly. Yeah. As if it's just a numerous.
Is it part of the dictionary?
No.
Yes.
So they just poo-poo the notion. They're poo-pooing the notion of God.
Yeah. We are God. No discussion. They just presume that it's. There's no need of any discussion. They cannot explain why. They don't even attempt to explain why. Atheistic theories such as that everything has come into being by chance, or that everything in the mature world is simply existing solid state without any. Without any beginning, which is going on. This preempts the need for any philosophical explanation of anything.
Preempts,
or undermines, you could say. Preempts means that it stops the need of any discussion before it even starts.
Oh.
Like a preemptive military action. Such non-philosophers or anti-philosophers are described in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Shri Krishna. Anyone know the verse? The important verse. No, not that one. Persons who say that there's no cause to the universe. Very specific verse in Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
You can say it in Russian if you like, if you don't understand Sanskrit.
We're living in the atmosphere which the whole world is going on under the influence of this anti-philosophy.
You should be aware of what Krishna says about this in Bhagavad Gita.
Asatyam apatishtante jagat ahurishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanya kama haitukam. It exactly corresponds to modern atheistic so-called scientific views of reality. They say, Krishna says, they say that there is no absolute truth. There is no fixed true principle. This captures the whole, this one word captures the whole modern educational ethos. They don't accept that there is any fixed knowledge because it's, our knowledge is always changing, or there's no real facts, but it's all according to individual subjective opinion. And they say that there is no basis to this universe. It just is, that's all. Which is not an explanation. It's not scientific. And they very boldly declare that there is no God in control of the universe. They say that there is everything is simply aparastara sambhutam. Everything is coming to be simply by chance. There's no structured cause of the universe. And if at all we are to look for any reason or philosophy as to the purpose of life, then we must declare that the purpose of life is sex. Enjoy yourself. So this is the demoniac atmosphere that we're living in, which is spoken about by Lord Krishna. There's nothing new. In this verse, the various Vedic atheists have been alluded to.
Vedic atheists.
Yes. Actually, that's another oxymoron. Because Veda means knowledge, and knowledge means to understand God. So there's no such thing as Vedic atheists. But they explain the Vedas, which are only meant to describe God. But they explain it in such a way there's no God. Or they describe a godless God. God devoid of the qualities of God. It's like the Karma Mimamsakas. They say, yes, there's God, but he says in the, according to the Vedas, he gives the fruits of various activities. So if you perform the various pious activities, he's obliged to give you the result. He's also not independent. Or the Ishvara described in the Sankhya philosophy, he's some kind of principle which fills in the holes that of their incomplete philosophy. There is this common monster idea that well, God is obliged to reward us for our pious activities. So that means that they're not actually describing what is actually God. Because God means He is independent. So these philosophical speculations to describe existence have been going on since time immemorial. These various speculations have been elaborately debunked by the Vaishnava Acharyas throughout the centuries.
Debunked?
Refuted. Refuted and shown to be true. Of course, there's not time to, in this class, discuss all of these different philosophies and their reputation. But we should be very much conversant with Bhagavad philosophy, to understand what is the position of Krishna. Of course, it is not possible to fully understand Krishna. That verse will just... Krishna, his activities are bewildering. They appear to be like that of a human being. But he's not. But we should, as Prabhupada explained, we should try to understand Krishna at least as much as he describes himself in Bhagavad Gita. Try to Try to understand it as the cause of all causes. Alright, what's that verse? Krishna is the cause of all causes. If you don't know this, then just don't dig up potatoes in your garden. There's nothing else to do. What's that verse? Krishna is the cause of all causes. Well, it could be, but specifically, the cause of all causes. Yes. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhe Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Can someone give the translation? Anyone? Abhinandan, great philosopher. Krishna is the supreme controller. His form is eternal, blissful, knowledgeable. It's a little bit difficult to say it exactly in English and probably in Russian also. Because if we say his form is composed of Satchidananda, that's not exactly correct because he's not really composed of anything. It is always existing. And if we say his form is eternity, knowledge, and bliss, it's not specific enough. So it just goes to show that these languages are not really meant for understanding the absolute truth. He's known as Govinda. There's no beginning to him, but he is the beginning of everything. He is the cause of all causes. So we should understand this from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, you'd probably prefer if I had told some charming stories of Krishna, which would be very sweet. But we should understand who is that charming one. If you don't understand the philosophy, that means you'll misunderstand it. If we don't understand the philosophy of the absolute truth, we'll be caught on the platform of relative truth. If we don't have the proper conception, then we'll have this conception. So this is the last Bhagavatam class I'll be giving at this festival, and I probably won't see most of you until the next festival. Many things you have to do in the meantime, in the upcoming year or so. Presuming you're all here next year.
But yes.
So among the many things you have to do, I request you earnestly, you please study these books very carefully. Many times devotees are telling me that, well, people ask me questions, they're interested, but I don't know how to answer. So you study these books and you'll learn how to answer. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.